This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured, you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
You are watching and listening to Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube
and your favourite podcasts.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here. Now be sure to watch Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV by subscribing on YouTube and following them on social media for all the latest Leicester City news and information. Come on, you foxes!
The net.
You're watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Watch us on YouTube.
Listen on your favourite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Right, Chris.
All right there back. Good evening, fellow Fox fans. How the devil are you? I've calmed down. after the other night. But if you do see me suddenly sort of disappear out and run off in the background, it's because JB's come into the chat again. Welcome along. It's the Friday night preview show. We're going to be previewing Leicester's visit to Leeds. I should apologise, first of all, for the lateness of the arrival. Being old, as me and Craig are, Craig was all right. He'd actually remembered, so it's only just me. I'd forgotten to do my score predictions on the long ball. I have never done them so quick in my life. So Craig says I'll probably get like maximum points this week. Who knows? But I apologise for that. There's an evening kickoff tonight, so I had to get them in quickly. It's Leicester Till I Die TV. This is where you can watch us and where you can listen to us afterwards.
Watch us on YouTube.
Listen on your favourite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Good evening, sir. How the devil are you?
I'm good, thank you, Chris. Hope you're well and hello to everyone.
And if you are not many points behind me in the long ball, so if you overtake me this week, I will be blaming the fact that you pretended you hadn't done yours either. And you rushed me into that.
Now, that's partially true, Chris. No, I did think as soon as you said it, I thought I haven't done mine. And then I realized that there was an accident earlier in the week and I was organized. Now, I probably won't let that happen again.
No.
So let's see what happens this week, shall we?
Yeah. And talking of predictions, of course, every week we do, we've got that many different prediction things going on, but we do the prediction show every week. The week before last, we, of course, had the, couldn't make it himself. He was potting balls somewhere in the nicest possible way. We had Mark Selby give us his score predictions. And before that, we used to have a different fan from a different club every different week. A lot of differences in there. I'm pleased to say that actually starting this week, and of course next week we don't have one because of the international break, but every week coming on, we've got ex-Leicester City winger flying down that wing, Steve Linex, who is going to be coming on and giving his score predictions. Some may say that I've invited him on because he's that bad at score predictions, he'll make me look good. That pure rumour. Pure rumour. I've told Steve so. But it's nice when these ex-players get involved, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And as I say, hopefully before he'll be sitting in his van somewhere, a little bit of peace and quiet away from the wife and kids, and he'll give it full focus. But as you say, he always goes against the grain. He always goes against Leicester.
Yes, so, but he did get a point at the weekend. That was the trouble.
Yeah, I know. But it'll be interesting to see what he looks like, how he does on the rest of the predictions.
It will, it will. Although he's already said that he hates Arsenal and hates Tottenham. So, good man.
He's in fine company.
Yeah. Talking about his wife and kids, he got home because we do the show at 9 o'clock because obviously he works for himself, so he can never be sure if it's an emergency to be home for 7. So we're doing it at 9. He got in, still dirty, what have you, from work. His daughter had got friends round. She said, "You're not doing that in here. I've got my friends round." And he presented the whole show from his bathroom.
Oh, did he? Oh, fair enough. Okay. Yes.
I don't know what he was sat on. We won't go there, okay? But yes, he did, indeed. But, hey, you heard it earlier because I was practicing it. We have got an important announcement. Oh, guess what? The Manchester Derby is not the only game this weekend.
Whoa, Chris.
I know.
Put some kind of warning up before you do that kind of thing, please.
What kind of, I mean, you wouldn't know it if you were watching Sky or in any of the online newspapers. But yes, apparently there are actually 9 other games this weekend.
I mean, it's not like it happens twice a year every year, is it? I mean, it was some kind of eclipse or something. It's
ridiculous. Yes, exactly. You know, but, you know, I just wanted to let everybody know, you know, just in case you thought, well, you know, if that's the only game, I'll stop in and do some knitting with the missus. That there is
What is it this year? Is it third against fourth this year?
I believe you could not be far off with that one. Let me have a look. You're testing me, aren't you, sir? You're testing me. Yes, it is. No, third against fifth. You just promoted fifth. Man United, well, yes.
And upset, of course, West Ham. It wouldn't matter who it was. Third against fifth is always a huge, huge game.
Yes, so. It is, isn't it? Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Me have the feeling you've been a little bit sarcastic there, sir.
As if I ever would.
But, like I say, there are some other matches breaking out around the Premier League at the weekend. And one of them we are involved in. And it's on Sunday. It's a 2 p.m. kickoff at Elland Road in Leeds. Not on the TV. It's on Sunday, but it's not on the TV. But obviously we played midweek, so we automatically get a Sunday game. You can listen to it on lcfc.com/radio or obviously BBC Radio Leicester, and obviously our best wishes still going out to Mr. Stringer there, who needs the support, in fairness. He's going through a bad time at the moment. So that's it. We've got Leeds. Bit of a topsy-turvy time last season when they came up, but I think it was a different Leeds, wasn't it?
It was, but then you could probably make an argument and say it was a different Leicester.
certainly, you know, yes.
I mean, they're struggling. They're having a bit of a hard time of it this season. Again, a few key injuries seems to have knocked them, particularly Bamford, I think, having no real focal point up there. A lot of people, you know, probably myself included, were a little bit unsure as to whether he could make the step up after Leeds got promoted, because he'd been quite prolific down in the Championship. But whenever he was on loan, or when he was at, I think it was a host club, it was Chelsea, never seemed to be able to string a run of decent games together. But had a fantastic season last season. Very unlucky to not get a call up by Southgate. But then, as you know, he doesn't play for the right team. So so those
Mr. Phillips might argue with that.
Yeah, I know, but he's got Harry Kane up front, so you know, it doesn't matter. Harry Kane can go 10, 15 games without scoring and he'll still start. So
fair point.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous. Let's have a little rant about Southgate. We've not had an opportunity for a while, have we? You know, a Southgate contradiction that you've got to be playing and playing well for your own club to be able to get in the side. Therefore, Jadon Sancho gets dropped. Kane still gets in. And who's the other one? Oh, John Stones. Has John Stones played this year? Not sure. You know, I think he played in the cup the other night and scored an own goal. No, he's not played, but still good enough to get in the England squad. But that's the contradictions of Gareth Southgate, a man that lots of people love. And apparently, he is the one.
Well, he is. But, you know, if we go with popular opinion, we could have Mr. Potter doing the job in the not too distant future. But we've got two exciting England games next week: Albania and San Marino. Wow!
I know. The chance, San Marino's a big chance for Kane to get back in scoring ways, isn't he? So, you know, forget giving anyone else a chance. Let's play Harry Kane again.
And Kit, good evening, sir. I think you're probably in and gone because you popped in earlier and left us a thumbs up. So hope you're well, sir. Hope you're well. And getting a little bit shaky for a couple of weeks' time. We will see. Connor, all the way from the good old US of A. Can someone ask me how Greenwood gets no call up? I think we'll tell you. You mean with more goals than Kane? I think. Craig just answered your question there.
Well, he plays for a big club. I'm going to give you that one, that Man U are a big club, you know, clinging on there. But, you know, he upset his copybook with Southgate, didn't he? I don't think he got his homework in on time one week. And he got kicked out of the squad and he's been nowhere near ever since, regardless of the fact that he's been banging goals in. You know, it's Harry Kane's domain and ever shall it be so.
Have you got a woodpecker in the room with you there?
No, apparently it's bonfire night, and people have decided that they're going to be letting fireworks off.
Was that wrong? To be honest with you, that just sounded like, I was going to say, whoever it is, just let them in, will you? Because they're desperate to come inside. It didn't sound like bonfire.
It's added atmosphere. That's what it is, Chris. You know. You knew that at some point, the weeks and weeks that we've done this show, at one point there was going to be fireworks. This is it.
This is guaranteed. This is guaranteed today. Like I say, last season, you couldn't have had two different matches. I mean, early on in the season, we annihilated them 4-1. Yeah. And then, as always with Leicester, it used to be the seasons where we had half a good one, half a bad one. Now it's actually matches, isn't it, where we have half a good half and a bad half.
Yeah, they caught us during our fallow home period. I think we got done by a few teams at home, didn't we?
Yes.
And Leeds were one of those where we just seemed to get caught on the break every time. And, I mean, you know, maybe we'll only keep it down to one this time, because we can't keep a clean sheet for God knows, you know. I mean, it's ridiculous at the minute.
I did speak to Julian on Tuesday about Leicester's leaky defence and why we don't put people on the corner flag. Now I don't know if you on the corner flag
on the post.
That's probably where they are on the post. Sorry, yeah. Why we don't put defenders on the post? Now, I don't know if you noticed whether you watched, because you, of course, you wouldn't have done because you were at the match. But on BT, they had Emil Heskey and Robbie Savage.
Right.
And the lady presenter said to Emil, why don't Leicester put defenders? Because we're not, you know, they said about defending set pieces. Why don't, that's how we conceded the goal, why don't we put somebody on the corner, you know, on the goalposts? And he said, "It because you get in each other's way."
What?
Yes, I think it's something like if you're coming out, you're running into a crowd of defenders, you've got other ones running in, and then you've got less people that can pick people up. And to be honest with you, I'd lost interest by that.
You know, I rarely swear on this show, and I'm not going to do it now, but I'm as close as I am. He is talking absolute cow's reproductive. You know, I mean, if that's the case, why don't we just all stay outside the box and there'll be nobody will run into anyone if that's the case. I tell you what would be interesting, you know, nobody's ever done this at a corner, put all 11 men just standing on the goal line, you know, let them put the ball in and see what happens, you know, because we see it when people get free kicks in the box, you know, the odd occasion that someone gets pulled up for an indirect free kick in the box. Everybody stands on the line. It's very rare that anyone scores. So let's try that at a corner. All 11 men across the line.
Yes. I did also ask Julian on Tuesday. His answer was better, but I can't remember what it was. But if you do go back and have a look, it was the second point we discussed. But I did say that you wanted to know the answer to that one. And he did come up with a decent answer. Really? Scott, good evening. How the devil are you? Yang, I mean, don't get... You want one of our defenders. We've only got about one fit one. You know what I mean? You don't want Vestergaard. You can't be choosy. You've got Phil Jones. What's wrong? Why do you want anybody when you've got Phil Jones?
To be fair, you already had Johnny Evans and you sold him. So, you know, it's your own fault.
It is. It is indeed. It is. We're not, just to let people know, we're not going to be picking a team this week because it's so out there with obviously having the midweek game plus the bug that's going around the club. I don't think we'd ever get anywhere near it, to be honest with you, would we?
No, I think so.
Scott says he fears for this weekend.
To be fair, and correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, I think you fear every weekend. I think you feared last week and you were right. Please don't fear this weekend.
No,
we can't have another one.
No, but if you want to know who took Bertie Money on to score the first goal, stay looking and see Craig's one to watch. you could have Benkovic, says Scott to Connor. Terry, good evening. How the devil are you, sir? That noise in Craig's house was a replay of one of Casper's kickouts hitting the back wall of one of the stands. Oh, Terry. Nasty, sir. Nasty. Yeti, good evening. How the devil are you? Hope you're well. I think that he meant that we have too many players in the box. We don't know who's marking who. Could well be. Like I say, I was only paying half attention when he came.
Well, there's another thought. You know, leave one up. You know, if there's too many in the box. There's another thought.
Or just don't do zonal marking.
Yeah. Just mark people, attack the ball. Just old fashioned stuff.
Yes. You know, if everybody's got to mark somebody, then surely you're covered. I don't know.
At least that, you see, what it is, I think, in this modern age where nobody gets the blame for anything, you can't pick on someone if they're not marking anyone.
No.
You know, you can't say, you should have been picking him up because... You know, everyone's just picking up a zone.
Well, like I said, I mean, I suppose, I mean, you know, we thought we were on the up, and then Arsenal rolled into town, and we obviously were still asleep. Mm-hmm. We played, I thought we weren't doing too bad in that first half. Mm-hmm. And I think we would have been ahead on points had it been a boxing match, but we didn't just land that fatal punch. And would it come back and bite us on the bum? And yes, it did. I mean, it's still in our own hands. Mm-hmm. And I suppose now, I mean, Brad made a very, very good point.
Did he?
No, he's not here, so I'm all right, I think. He's not watching this. Nobody tell him I'm saying this. But he did make a very good point that at the start when it was announced, well, I made a very good point, first of all, in the fact that this is the hardest group we've had out of the three recent European tours. Yeah, it's a group of death, etc. But it is a hard group. Mm. And on the back of that, Brad said, well, when it was announced, we looked at it and thought, well, you know, Lazio are going to, Napoli.
Napoli, yeah.
If you don't get Lazio at some point in this campaign, I'm good. It's because Warsaw got that stupid L in the logo and I can't get it out of my mind. Napoli are probably going to win the group and we were looking at second then anyway. And of course, that's still on. Do you think Leeds are a good team to try and get back on track against?
Potentially. I just want to say, I mean, there's so much noise going on outside. I'm starting to think it's not bonfire night, but it's actually the purge. if I suddenly disappear. Yeah. Yes. I tell you what, though, if something does come through the window, at least this will go viral, Chris. Your fingers will go right through the roof.
Take one for the team, Craig.
Yeah, I will do, mate.
Yeah.
I mean, Leeds, I mean, on the back of Thursday night, when I think everybody was left frustrated on that, because you're right, the performance wasn't that bad. It just shows you that we still haven't worked out a way of penetrating a tight defence when you know, they weren't going to come out, and then we got done on a sucker punch when, you know, Victor Moses, probably the smallest man on the pitch, just strolled in to plant a header. Again, like the Arsenal game with Ramsdale's save, you know, Samari's fantastic effort, you know, crashing off the sort of underneath of the bar and the post an inch lower and it would have been in. Again, it could have been a different game. So, but no, Leeds will be a test because we know how they like to play. They're going to, hopefully, you know, it's not going to be a similar one to Brentford, which we didn't deal with particularly well. Although we came out with a victory, we didn't deal particularly well with a team that was high press on us. But we should have enough. I say that every week, that we should have enough. But we've got to play.
One week you'll get it right.
The frustrating thing is it? Because we talked about doing a combined 11. For this, and you look at it, and again, there's only one Leeds player who would get in my 11. I won't mention him now. We'll keep him for later. And we do the same against Brentford and a lot of these teams. You know, there's not many we would take from the opposition, yet we're not, clearly not playing to our potential. And a lot of that isn't talent, it's attitude. And somehow he needs to get that over. There were signs of it, I thought, the other night. I thought we started fairly quickly, but we're going to have to do that against Leeds because, again, you know, they're scrapping for points. You can't go a goal behind, and we're giving everyone a head start these days.
Yeah. Scott says, Craig, I was optimistic last weekend, to be fair. Had a few high scoring. I think you had most high scoring, if I remember the prediction show, Scott, never came off. Although he does say that he's glad that you finished his sentence rather quickly after using penetrating a tight. Yes, well, Scott, you've a dirty mind, young man. You've a dirty mind. Me and Craig do not know what you're talking about.
No idea.
No. David, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? What I want to see is each player taking responsibility and initiative to battle hard. I just want players to show fire and fight. Stop struggling to tackle the opponent more. Let them fear us for once. Mm. I think what gets me, just to sort of sidetrack for a minute on this point, is that we haven't lost any players that we didn't want to this summer. So we've got the same players, but we're just playing like we've not carried on from where we left off.
You know, there was something that said, I remember Martin O'Neill saying this years ago, and it was something that Brian Clough said to Martin O'Neill. He said, "You're an arrogant young man with absolutely nothing to be arrogant about." And I get the feeling that's what we are at the moment. We're going out onto the pitch with this sort of arrogance that we can stroll around and we don't have to try particularly hard, and we're good enough to just, our football will eventually come through in the end. And it's not doing that. You can't. Every game is a battle, you know, in the first instance, in the first 20 minutes. You've got to come out all guns blazing, not throwing men forward, but you've got to get into tackles. You know, you've got to go in early. It was, again, you know, you and I, Chris, we sort of grew up watching football of a different age when,
yeah,
you know, you left your mark on your opponent quite early on, you know, to let them know that you were there. Now it's like you put down the red carpet and just wave them through. It's that has to change, because we can't keep giving goals, you know, head starts away. We can't come back every week.
No. On that very, very point, I'm still going off on a side track, as we always do on these shows, which is great because we cover a lot of different topics. They said Luckman, when he came on, Moses and a couple of tackles straight away let him know he was there. And then after that, he never ran at him once. He was just putting crosses in all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I was very disappointed. I was he was in front of where I sit in the stand. He was right in front most of the time, and I was saying to Scott, as a winger, the first thing you do, whether you come on as a sub or whether you start the game, is you get the ball and you run your fullback. You find out very early on, can I beat him for pace? Can I just knock it and go past him? He didn't really try it. You know, he lost his way a couple of times, and then that was it. You're right. He just kept looking to cut inside, and, you know, sometimes he put a cross in, other times he just laid the ball off, but it didn't look like he was on it to me when he came on. Now, whether that's, you know, that he's had his confidence knocked a little bit by having a couple of good games, but he still finds himself on the bench, I don't know, but it wasn't one of his better performances, that's for sure.
Yes. I want to ask you this, and then we'll get back on to Leeds. And it's something that struck me. I may have mentioned it to you before. I don't know. But it's almost like the last couple of seasons, we've been punching above our weight, and that we're not ready yet to be considered a top five, a top six club. Tie that in with the fact that this season you've got a lot more clubs that are fighting for that position that weren't before. So West Ham are having a couple of good seasons rather than just a one-off. Arsenal have come back. Tottenham, we presume, are going to come back with Conte. There's a lot more going for that fifth, sixth that we were kind of saying was our own. Is this, I'm calling it this, but I don't know if you agree with it or not, it's almost like the reality check season, and that we have to take this season as it is and go, actually, and then get back to the basics for next season.
I think you're right. And I think, you know, unless something dramatic happens, I think this is the new reality. Every team in the Premier League, or virtually every team in the Premier League, gets better year on year. There's more money in the Premier League, therefore teams strengthen all the time. You know, with the best will in the world, most teams in the Premier League, even those that are perennially at the bottom, have enough money, enough buying power to go round most of the best teams in Europe, or let's say, if not the top level teams, the second best, the third best, fourth best teams around Europe, and get the cream of their talent. So every year, teams that stay in the Premier League for a number of years get stronger. So that it's only a matter of fact that it's going to get stronger and tougher every year to get those sort of European spots. And I think this is the new reality, and we have to deal with it.
I mean, do we have to maybe even consider that was our opportunity gone? Because, you know, like I said, you've got three. Well, I thought the top four was done and dusted, but Man United are doing the best to drive, you know, up a one-way street the wrong way. so you've got the, you know, the Man City, Chelsea, who I think are going to win it this year, and Liverpool. Possibly Man United if they get rid of Solskjaer, because they've got the players there. They just, you know, need somebody that can control it. Like I say, Arsenal are coming back in, but it is Arteta, so we'll see. Tottenham have got Conte in, and if he's there for a couple of seasons, they will. We know Conte's a winner, and he's done Tottenham a favour by going there. Not Tottenham weren't doing him a favour by offering him the job, and knowing what position they were in, he's gone in and he'll be demanding that he wants this for players and that for players. So they're going to come strong, and of course Newcastle. So we may have missed the boat.
Yeah, you know, as I say, I'm glad you mentioned Newcastle. You know, you say we talked briefly off air about the appointment of Eddie Howe, and I'm not sure about Eddie Howe, but he's the interim almost, I think, while they get their house in order, almost like a fairly safe pair of hands, although he did manage to take Bournemouth down. But over the next few years, they're going to come strong. They're going to have enough money. Doesn't work for everyone. I mean, Everton have had money the last few years. I think they've spent a hell of a lot of money. They don't look any stronger than they did 5 years ago, to be fair. But it is. It's going to be tough. It's whoever can put on a run of games. And I think I mentioned last week, momentum is a huge thing. And we had it. Then we played Arsenal and we lost it again. And now we've got to start again. You've got to look at these as the start of a new run. So it's vitally important that we have this. Going back into the international break, although after the last international break, I know Brendan used it very wisely. We came out, had that great result against Manchester United, but we didn't build on it. And that's the frustrating thing, you know. And so now you've got to start another good run.
And we come out of this international break and it's just a small matter of Chelsea. David says there, Chris, in your scenario, what exactly are the basics we need to get back to? Well, let's say one of those is good defending and trying to keep a clean sheet. Another one is scoring. And I think those are the two main basics we've got. It's the fact that we have the domination as we did against Arsenal in the second half. We can't score because we're already 2-0 down. They're just defending. We had the domination against Moscow in the first half the other night. We didn't score. And I say at the back, if Ranieri bought a pizza, as I'm saying, Rodgers has got to go out and buy a 3-course bloody meal. But, you know, if you're not going to get those two things right, and I think we are struggling to score. I know we're getting the goals, but, the fact that we beat Man, you know, we put four past Man United, maybe, you know, is it, you know, pumps our goal scoring touch chart up a little bit. But there's so many games we look at it. And we had, you know, the other day we had 14 shots and we got one goal. You know, they had three, four shots and got one goal. It's the conversion rate. And like I said, at the back, like I said before, I've just done the prediction league. And I can never, ever predict Leicester not to concede a goal. No. You know, it's never a 1-0 or 2-0 or whatever. And fair dues to Steve Walsh, because we'll come on to their scores of the ex-players later. He has gone for a nil, but for Leicester not conceding. But I've always got to have at least a one in there.
No, I think it is what it is. You know, me and Scott both predicted that we would win 3-0 in the week. They scored, and Scott turned to me and said, "How stupid of us not to predict that we were going to concede." Touching on David's point there about why West Ham. You've answered your own questions. They do play to their strengths. They don't. They don't want to play around at the back. They don't go long ball, but they move the ball quicker and they get their team up the pitch. And again, one of the biggest issues for me is, and you saw this if you're watching the game on Thursday, and it's most games, we don't get enough players forward quickly enough in the box. There's times that if Vardy or Daka or whoever goes out wide, Iheanacho, you look up, there's one person in the box. If you're lucky, we don't have that desire to get men in the box. And if that's the case, you're not going to score many goals. It's as simple as that. We spend so much time, you know, messing about, I almost swore there, at the back, you know, playing pretty pass football, that the opposition gets in, you know, they get in place. So we have to come out, we come back out to try and draw them out, which is, you know, I've heard Brendan say this before. You know, Johnny Evans stands there, you know, doing posing for his statue with his foot on the ball, waiting for to pull the opposition out of position so they can start to play. The opposition have no intention of coming out of their shape. It doesn't work. So you've got to do something different. You have to move it quicker. Try a risky pass, you know, but we don't. West Ham do. West Ham play quick. They get the ball onto their attacking players. You've got Antonio, who is direct. Bowen, when he plays, who is direct. Benrahma, direct. All direct players who want to go forward. Their first thought isn't, can I knock it back? It's, can I turn? Can I go forward? We've got players who are good enough to do that. The only one who plays on the half turn is Maddison. Obviously, he was ill the other night. Barnes, I will give you as well. Barnes can do that. You know, and I thought he, it's a shame that he was ill, I think. Otherwise, I think he would have played on Thursday. But you've got to take the ball forward. And I thought our best player on Thursday night was Castagna, who was the out ball the whole time.
Yes,
he was. We were looking at him, looking at the difference between him and Bertrand on the left. Castagna opens his body to receive the ball. So when he gets it, he's going forward. Bertrand has a closed body. So when he receives it, he's automatically facing backwards. So he plays it backwards all the time. It's just little things like that that you change, and the momentum of the team changes. This should be being coached. You know, it's quite a simple thing. But we don't do it. West Ham do it. That's why they're being much more successful than we are.
Just going to go through a few questions here, and then we will get on to the fact that we're playing Leeds at the weekend. Almost forgotten. Scott says, do we think James Justin will be back on the team sheet for Chelsea? Could well be. I don't think he'll be on the starting 11. So I don't think that's Brendan's way. But yes, and it would be great to see him again.
Yeah. Yes, I think you might see him in the under-23s for a couple of games just to get that contact.
Good point.
You know, a bit of match fitness and some contact. It's okay, you know, running around and being fit, but you need that sort of contact. So I think you may have a couple of games there.
You're quite right. Do you think Rodgers is the problem? I've seen a couple of people who want him sacked. Yeah, well, we won't even go there, Yeti, because just ask yourself, who would we get in his place? And if you answer Graham Potter, I'm kicking you out the group. Right, so...
Is Potter the new Perez? Have you got a problem with anybody who just his name begins with a P? Is this what it is?
All I will say with, and anybody who saw the post-match show will know me and Brad were having this discussion, shall we say, with JB. And we don't get this fuss about Potter. He's not won anything yet. Come back in a couple of seasons when he's won something, and then we'll see if he's still any good. But Leeds, you remember them? This is what I love about these shows, is that you can start talking about something and you go off at a total tangent, and it's brilliant. I love it, totally love it. But we've got Leeds, like I say, won two of the last five, pretty similar. I mean, they're pretty similar at current form to us. They drew with Wolves, they lost to Southampton, they beat Watford, lost to West Ham, which is no shame in there. We look at that and we've got that on our games. We were lucky with Burnley, very lucky with Crystal Palace, as they were the better team and we were hanging on at the end. Man United is obviously the bright spot in there. Brentford, we were lucky again, but they didn't take the chances, and you get punished in this division if you don't. And Arsenal will just try and ignore. You know, it's hard to look at that and go, yeah, Leicester can win this.
It is. I mean, you look at our last five games and their last five games. I was just doing a little bit of quick mental arithmetic there, and we've scored 10 goals. They scored 5 in their last five games, and their opposition hasn't been great. You know, included in that, two of those were against Norwich, Wolves, Southampton, Watford, and whoever's hiding behind there. So it's clear where their goal scorer, their problems are. Mm. Obviously, you know, they would be looking to come up against a defence that lets in goals regularly. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's us. So that could change for them.
Yes.
You know, you look at that, and apart from Arsenal, where we did create a lot of chances, to be fair, you know, I would say out of all those games, Brentford was a game where we didn't really create a lot. So we are creating chances, even though we are frustrated about it and not getting enough points, players in the box. And I think the thing is, when you get players forward, you know, it's about trust as well, isn't it? It's about trusting those behind you. Now, maybe Ndidi coming back will give us a little bit more trust that we can commit more men forward. Although I thought Brendan, and I'm going off again, but I thought Brendan got that wrong against Moscow the other night. I think the first change was justified, but I don't think you needed to bring Ndidi on in that game. You know, it wasn't like they were pouring forward and you needed an enforcer. And Samari had a good game and he was carrying the ball through midfield, and we sort of lost that, I thought. But as it, going back to the Leeds game, yeah, they're not scoring. They lost their main goal scorer in Bamford. So they don't really have that focal point. I think they're looking for other people to do it. And I know very well, because I've had him in my fantasy team this year, Stuart Dallas chipped in with a lot of goals last season. They're not getting the goals from other places as well.
Mm.
So, you know, they are struggling a bit. I think Ayling's out, I think, who is a constant threat from fullback going forward. So we should, you know, if ever we were going to keep a clean sheet, you know what, I'm not even going to finish that sentence. We've got a very good chance of turning Leeds over because of the injury problems they've got.
Yes.
But, and it's a huge but, for me, we've got to score the first goal.
Well, we've scored 15 so far this season. They've scored 10, but we've both conceded 17, which probably says more about our defence than theirs. I mean, they are in that typical sort of second season syndrome. Yeah. But just looking at the information here, season so far, no, we've both only kept one clean sheet. Average goals scored per match, they've got one, we've got 1.5. But you see, here's the average goals conceded, both of us at 1.7. But they're not getting the chances, they're getting less. Than a 0.7 chances per match. Yeah. And that might just work in our favour. And I'm going out on a limb here, and I'm gonna hate myself for saying this, but it might be the team we need to play. You watch us go and get beaten 3-0 now. But I just, every time we have a good performance, I'm thinking, this is it now. Like Man United, we're going to build on this, and we're not. I mean, we've said before that we've never had a big squad. And, you know, we say with you know, Ollie's problem at Man United is he doesn't know how to, you know, handle the players and rotate the players and deal with the big names that they want to play. And I'd hate to say that we're ending up the same way, but he is trying to play all these players. And we as fans are going, well, why aren't you playing Daka? You know, why, you know, Daka's got four, why isn't he in? And the problem you've got is, you know, how many balls are being put through to players that aren't there because they're used to playing with player A and have been for a season, expecting, you know, let's say Jamie Vardy, expecting Jamie Vardy to do something. Vardy's not on. Do the same thing. And I just wonder, can you sometimes, and I'm going to sound Irish this because I'm saying, let's use the squad. We need to spread it out more. We've got four games, you know, we're in four tournaments, two games a week for 3 weeks running. But is it actually working against us now?
In some ways, I think you're probably right, Chris. You know, when you have a big squad, though, you've got to pick the right team for the opposition that you're playing. And, you know, and sometimes alter the way you play as well. Because if you've got a Vardy or a Daka, where's the space? The space is in behind the opposition. So if they're pushing forward, you've got to get the ball in behind quicker. Mm. When we won the league, half the time we didn't even look. You know, the ball would be rolled back into Albrighton or Drinkwater. They wouldn't even look. They would just whip it in behind into space because they knew Vardy was going to be there. You could do the same for Daka. We didn't do it against Moscow when they pushed up. And then those type of players become negated, you know, because it's too tight. You can't, there is no room to slide through a little pass. So you've got to wonder about sometimes the team selection. And I know it's great in hindsight, you can always do that. But you've got to think, if you know you're playing up against a packed defense, Vardy's always had this issue, hasn't he? If he's playing against a packed defense, he struggles.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same with Daka. So you have to look at it from a different point of view. You have to have players who want to drop in and get the ball, like a Perez, like an Iheanacho, who both had decent-ish games, I think, to draw players out of position. Just putting them onto the back five, it doesn't really work. So Leeds are a little bit more progressive. So it may be that it's a perfect game for Vardy, maybe the perfect game for Daka. Leeds crowd, we know what it is. It is a cliche, isn't it? But it is a bit of a cauldron there. They will be up for this game. So they don't allow their team to sort of sit back. So we are going to have opportunities. We thought that against Brentford, we didn't have as many as we actually thought we would because we didn't play through the press. So I think we've got to have people who can handle the ball and who are prepared to put a tackle in. I think with the sort of triangle of whether everyone's fit, of Maddison, Samari and Tielemans is a strong one. If you play in Didi, but then also play a back five, then you've got six defensive players. So that puts a lot of responsibility on those two wingbacks. So again, it depends who's going to be fit, whether Pereira's over his illness or not. So
yeah,
it's a really, really difficult. I think what I'm waffling on about is it's a really hard one to predict.
We're not doing the team this week because you just don't know, you know. I'd love Barnes to be back because I think we missed having Barnes, and I think you touched on it earlier. Running at the direct. And Luckman, like I say, he seemed to be scared to do that after Moses had caught him a couple of times. Craig says in a game like against Leeds, he thinks Samari and Didi and Tielemans play in central of the park. Tielemans a bit further up the pitch. Book line, Brendan needs to swallow his pride and offer up the pizza for a clean sheet. As I say, I think they're holding out for a Toby, if you ask me, you know. If Madders is fit, we need him in the lineup. Indeed, Inouye is all we need in midfield, says David S. Mm-hmm. No Samari. Show we are confident and not cautious. The scary thing was that, and maybe the bug did us a favour, because Vestergaard would have started. If he hadn't had the bug. And the thing is, and it was actually the Alan, who does our man of the match after the game, actually went for a Marty. And I think maybe it's, I can see why he went for a Marty, obviously, as well as the goal. I think, you know, when you look at he's almost, if you like, our most consistent defender at the moment. And, you know, there wasn't a time I thought I'd be saying that.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think there's a little bit of the Garth Crooks punditry going on there, that he got man of the match because he scored, because he didn't have a lot to do, although he did what he did have to do. He did very well.
Yes. You know,
anybody who looks at Garth Crooks' team of the week only needs to have a look at the fact of who scored that week, and that basically gets you in. But no, Amati played where he didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, one of the biggest shocks that I've had down at the Kimpow for a long time is the crowd singing Amati's name. I mean, something that you never thought you would hear.
Nope.
But no, he was very solid. He looked more composed on the ball, to be fair. But for me, I think Castagna would have just edged it. He had a lot of threat going down that right-hand side.
Did. Yes.
Unfortunately, when he looked up, hardly anybody in the box.
Yeah, he did seem to be, you know, our main outlet, didn't he? Yeah. Really,
he did. A fair play to Johnny. You know, he showed that he can ping a pass 50 yards with his left foot if he wants to do it. It's like it's feast or famine with Evans, isn't it? He can either ping a worldie or he can just stand on it.
I mean, you realize I am going to clip that out and use that going forward. you gave Johnny Evans some praise there.
I know. Yeah.
For a pass. I actually thought I'd just do while you were talking there, a very quick check, because obviously Leicester are sat in 11th at the moment and Leeds are in 17th. So I thought, you know what? I'll have a look and see what Leeds are like at home. And in the home table, they're actually 16th, so not a lot of difference there. They've five obviously played. They've only won one of those, drawn two, lost two. They got 5 points. So then I thought I'd look at Leicester away. Because, of course, as I say, we're 11th in the table. We're 9th in the away game. We have won two, drawn one, lost two, so we've got 7 points. It all is heading towards being a very tight
game. So let's just take a moment to sit back and decide what we've learned there, Chris.
Absolutely nothing. which is the whole point of me saying. I thought I was going to come up with some not really good and bring some really good. Hey, do you know our waveform is so much better and we're going to stop? No, it was exactly the same. But I tell you what, we are going to learn something from yourself straight after this. Yes, 4 days to go. The 9th of November at 7 p.m.
You're building this up like it's a new series of Stranger Things.
or Squid Game. Squid Game as well. It's all going to happen Tuesday at 7 o'clock. It's personal. Yes, it is.
My understanding is, from the little comments that I've seen being passed around, is that this was a challenge that Brad specifically requested.
Indeed. Yeah. So we shall see how it goes out. But like I say, it's going to be very interesting. It's Leicester versus Leicester. Mm. This is what's coming up next, and then we're going to have the one to watch. Thirty on Sunday. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Set a reminder so you don't miss us. Post-match game, when hopefully we're going to be talking about 3 points with the aforementioned Brad. Now, as I say, we've been having a bit of fun over the last few weeks of me and Craig. I know it doesn't always look like we do, but Craig's been picking his team that he thinks will start for Leicester. And we gave that up because, like I say, and you couldn't do that this season anyway. And then we thought we'd do a combined 11. But Brentford, Craig said it would have been 11 Leicester City players. And with Leeds, he said, well, there'd be 10. So the other thing we were doing was one to watch. Now, the problem is with that, the one that Craig picks to watch always actually is spot on, and he has a fantastic game against us. So I'm almost dreading doing this. But you said it's the one player, and I'd be interested to see who you would drop to put this player in, but it's the one player you said might fit in our team, but you got him as the one to watch, and that's the Yorkshire Brazilian Rafinha.
Yeah, I don't think there's a great surprise. I don't think anybody who watches football would be surprised that out of all the players, he was the one that I would go for, to be honest. Mm. I think there's a lot of envious eyes around the Premier League already on him, particularly the way, you know, we worry about hanging on to our best players if we're not in the top four or five. You know, Leeds, I can't see them having any chance at all of hanging on to Rafinha beyond this season. To be fair, they'll do well to keep him out of January. You know, we've long looked for the left-footed, right-sided player that's the one. You know, he would be fantastic. Yeah. I'd love us to go and splash the boat, splash the money, and push the boat out and go and get him. He's going to have bigger clubs after him, I'm sure. But he's a constant threat. We've seen other Brazilians come and show up for a season. Now, I think West Ham. His name was gone, but they're Brazilian. They had a fantastic season and then just disappeared. Rafinha's had a couple of injury problems this year, so his performances have been a little bit curtailed. But he looks like he's at it. I think he scored in the last game. He's a fantastic player, you know, skillful, but also he's got an attitude about him like the best Brazilians have. So, you know, he would be ideal down our right hand side as a left-footed right-sided player, and he's definitely going to be one that we're going to have to watch. It'd be interesting to see if everybody's fit. I would be, you know, much more confident if Pereira was fit and we switched Castagna over to the left rather than Bertrand, who I thought was really disappointing against Moscow. And we know that against tricky physical wingers, young Thomas has had some tough times as well. So it's definitely an area to watch, and it will be as much about who we're playing at left back as it is about how Rafinha performs.
Yeah. David's agreeing with you. Craig, you're spot on. Rafinha is also their best player for me. Mm-hmm. So, God, you see, I knew eventually somebody would agree with you.
That's what I'm saying later.
Now then, it's score prediction time. So I'm afraid I think I've taken your prediction away from you again.
Thanks, mate.
There's no score predictions at all there because I've uploaded. Talk amongst yourselves for a minute, children. I've uploaded the before rather than the after. In fact, where the hell? There we go.
This is where they slickly appear one by one, isn't it, Chris?
Now, that would be, let's be honest with you, that would be impressive.
It would.
But for speed, there you go. That was impressive, wasn't it?
You're all about the speed, aren't you, Chris?
Yeah, well, it has to be. It has to be. So I've gone for a 3-1 to Leicester. Marsh has gone 2-1 Leicester. It's not like Ian to go through us, but he has done.
Yeah.
Now Walshy actually texted me back saying 2-0, and I went, "Oh, is that to Leeds?" Because he'd put the two first, and I won't tell you what he called me, but he is. He said no. Of course, it's Leicester, but he is worried. Jerry Taggart thinks it's going to be a goal fest. I don't think my heart could survive that, and he's gone for 2-3. Steve Linex hasn't gone against us this week, but he's gone for the 1-1, which he predicted in the prediction show. And Ian Wilson there, the Scottish lad, has gone 3-3. So he thinks it's going to be a goal fest as well. What do you think, wise one?
Well, I mean, it's slightly worrying there, isn't it, that Linex hasn't gone for us to get beaten and neither's Marshall. Yeah. So, you know, maybe something's happened and I've missed out on something has happened to the pair of them.
Well, maybe before you actually give your prediction, you should know that Mark Lawrenson from the BBC has actually predicted us to win. So that's almost like a kick in the teeth, isn't it? He's gone for a 2-1.
It is. I think that the most worrying aspect of all of this, Chris, is that I'm actually going to agree with you. And I don't know whether that worries you more or it worries me.
We broke up then, but I actually thought that I heard that you said you were agreeing with me.
Okay, let's make it a bit more palatable, shall we? I'm agreeing with your score prediction, not in general terms agreeing with you. How's that?
I thought it was too good to be true. Yeah. I really did. Yeah, 3-1. I mean, we have struggled against the lower league teams this season. I say every week I'm just out there thinking, this is the week we start the turn. This is the week, you know. Yeah. I've said that this is the season when we come up from behind rather than looking over our shoulder. Unfortunately, I think we've stopped for petrol. And then, of course, like you say, we've got the international break. So we will have a bit of fun.
I mean, the good thing with that is, by our performances this season, there's fewer and fewer Leicester City players getting picked for international football. So they do get a rest.
They do indeed.
Obviously, I mean, obviously we'll talk about it over the coming weeks, but the one thing we need to be aware of is the African Cup of Nations coming up in January, where we are going to lose some players. So, you know, we need to be getting put on the
board. Rumours it might be called off. I don't know if that's...
I know there's some issues, isn't there? There's Cameroon, it's scheduled to be in. But I think this has happened before, and there's always a country who is prepared to step in at the last minute because they've got the infrastructure. So it wouldn't surprise me if it was on, but maybe in a different country.
It'll be interesting what the aftermath of that, because with COVID, of course, Africa is so far behind sort of, you know, Europe and North America and Australasia that's the worrying side of it. Now, I don't know if that is the problem with Cameroon. I don't know at all, but, you know, but I said the other day, I said, you know, we're going out, we're buying these exciting players, and it's not just us, it's a lot of clubs. You know, we all sort of go into these African players, but it's, you know, we know that the Cup of Nations isn't in the off-season. It is in January, February time. So
it's true. Well, I think as it stands, we're going to lose Wilf, Ndidi, and Iheanacho with Nigeria. And my understanding is also that the Nigerian FA are making advances towards getting Luqman to switch.
Luqman wants to as well. Luqman
switch to go and play for them. The only bright spark is that Zambia didn't qualify, so... Dakar won't be going anywhere.
No, I was about to ask you about that. It's a good, you know, your African football, sir.
Thank you. Make sure there's a few of those questions up on Tuesday night.
You know, there'll be totally, absolutely no football questions whatsoever. The other show, tune in for this one. You've got to on Wednesday. This was me, believe it or not, having a little bit of a huff about the fact that. All the teams are a top six, you know, all the talk about the top six, the big six, the money six, whatever. And there was a show on the other day on Maisie's channel, and bless her, I'd had a little bit of a moan. The fact that, you know, it was the best 11 from the top six. And I'm saying, but it's not the top six, because Leicester were in there the other season. So we're actually having, we've got Brad on, we've got Rob, who is a West Ham fan. I think he's done the quiz with him. Jack from Southampton, you know, he was the multicoloured shirt quizzer. And we're going to be, well, I'm not going to be picking those three. You're going to be picking the best 11 from the proper football teams, not the money men, you know. So that could be very interesting. That's
Is it a best of the rest? Is it taking
best of, well,
the top, the traditional big six out of it and seeing what you make from the rest, or...?
Basically, yes, you know. Well, but like I like to say, not necessarily the rest. I like to call it best of the proper football teams.
Yeah.
You know? Craig, have a great weekend, mate.
Thank you very much.
Are you going up to Leeds at all?
Sorry?
Are you going up to Leeds?
No, I won't be going up to Leeds. It's, you know, due to that almost closed shop that they run at the football club in terms of getting away tickets. It's pretty difficult, so... No, I shall be, I won't even be watching it, will I? So I shall be tuning in somehow, that's for sure.
Somehow. Let's just leave it at that. Yeah. Craig, thank you very much, sir. And I will see you on Tuesday for the big match.
Just swatting up. Yeah. Cheers, Chris. Bye, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Take care. Just get your paddle boards ready, mate.
I will.
Cheers now. Thanks a lot to Craig. Yep, he's going to be back on Tuesday. So we've got no Craig next Friday because we haven't got... he was not free next Friday anyway, but it works out very well because we don't have a game because of England. Although I've got my flu jab that weekend, but I'm sure we don't want to do a preview of that. Tomorrow, 4:30, like I say, it is the post-match show with me and Brad, and that's going to be about 4:30, depending how it goes. 7 o'clock Monday, we're going to get a Leeds fan on. The El Loco Leeds channel are coming on at 7 o'clock to review the game. At 7 o'clock on Tuesday, it's the Battle of the Big Minds. It is. And if you're wondering what these are, I'm not going to give you any more information. The clues have all been there, but it is 4 days to go. And there can only be one man left standing at the end. Who will it be? You got to tune in and find out. 9 o'clock, X on the Pitch with Julian Watts. And then on Wednesday, like I say, kick the big team, or they think the big teams, into touch. And let's have a proper best 11. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Craig. And like I say, he knows his stuff, and he makes the show look good. And it needs something, I'll tell you. Remember, get onto Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube and press that subscribe button. It does help the channel. Like the video if you can do. If you're watching it and you like it, please like it, because that helps the channel as well. And if you want to listen to us afterwards, we are all over the podcasts, Spotify and all the rest, Apple, iTunes, Google, to name just three. Thanks a lot, guys. See you tomorrow night. No, see you tomorrow afternoon. Sunday afternoon at 4:30. Take care. That's all,
folks. Hello, Matt Elliott here. Be sure to watch Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube and follow all their social media platforms for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow, and join in now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.